I'm going to be in Psalm 135, if you would be turning there. Psalm 135. And I'm going to read the whole book, whole psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. We are admonished and encouraged here to praise the Lord, yea, the name of the Lord. This is to those whom are in His court, that is God's enclosure in His house. Praise Him because He is good. Sing praises to His name because it is pleasant to do this, as well as His name is pleasant. Then in verse 4 of Psalms 135, we read 4. 135, verse 4. 4. The Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. We then hear why we are to praise the Lord and why His name is sweet or pleasant. The psalmist tells us that God chose a people for His pleasant name. These are those who are in His enclosure. Then the psalmist begins to tell us how he accomplishes this. His sovereignty. My title is Praise Ye the Lord. My subject is God's sovereignty. Most people do not know what the sovereignty of God is. The reason is they do not know the Lord and His pleasantness. They do not know God. They are these heathens spoken of in this psalm. Heathen here means those who are not God's people. What do these heathens have, or what do? They have idols. Silver and gold, the work of men's hands. I want to say that this can be silver and gold, or it can be a piece of wood, or it can be something hewn out in their mind and imagination. anything that is not the name of the Lord, that pleasant name. What are these idols like? They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. And what else? Neither is there any breath in them, no life. These idols are mentioned here in this psalm, but what is the key here? They that make them are like unto them. So those who are not God's people, they cannot speak, even though they have mouths, not anything to the praise of His name. They cannot see the one to whom they are to praise. They cannot hear the one who has done all these wonderful works so that they might praise Him. They have no life, or that is ability, to praise Him, the one whose name is pleasant, because they are dead. If you have anything, any idol at all, and do not have the Lord, the one whose name is pleasant, then you are dead at the very least, and it may be that you are reprobate. There are those in this world who will give a head nod to God being sovereign in some things. This is but a God of their own imagination, who is not sovereign over all things, and thereby not sovereign over anything. He is one of these idols hewn out with their hands in their mind. God to them is what they want Him to be. Therefore, He is not sovereign at all. Their God they believe to be sovereign in doing good things for them when they want something. They will give God praise when something good happens to them. Like when they score a touchdown. But you even notice when they do this, what do they do? So that's who their God is. Some think He is sovereign in defeating the devil when the devil is doing those bad things. Some think He is sovereign over everything but salvation. When it is salvation that is the very thing He is sovereign over, because it is Him who purposed to save and therefore created all things and created them to this very end, to His glory. There are a lot of people in the world today that give lip service to God being sovereign some of the time. Some think He is sovereign on Easter Sunday. Some at Christmas. Some on every Sunday and Wednesday night when they go to church. These are heathens. They are not God's people, nor is their God God at all. All they are about is making themselves feel good. Their problem is it does not last, so they have to keep doing, doing, doing. We know the word sovereignty itself is not used in Scripture, but God's Word defines to us exactly what sovereignty is, so that's where we will get the definition from. But I want to give you a definition online that I did. I think it was Merriam-Webster's, but let me just give you that real quick. Okay, first, the noun. 1A, one possessing or held to possess supreme political power or sovereignty. B, one that exercises supreme authority within a limited sphere. C, an acknowledged leader, arbiter. Now as an adjective. 1A, superlative in quality, of the highest degree or quality, of the most exalted kind, supreme, sovereign virtue. C, having generalized curative powers of sovereign remedy, and that's able to cure disease. Of an unqualified nature, unmitigated, sovereign contempt. Having undisputed ascendancy, paramount. Then 2A, possessed of supreme power, a sovereign ruler. B, unlimited in extent. Absolute. That's the best one out of them all. C, enjoying autonomy, independent, sovereign states. 3, relating to characteristics of or befitting a supreme ruler, royal, a sovereign right. I started looking up passages in the Bible dictionary that I had for sovereignty. And most of the time when you look at these, some of them don't even come close to talking about what they say it does, but in this case, God's sovereignty is all over the Scripture. Amen. I was just totally amazed myself. And so I started looking at A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God, trying to get this down to where I could, you know, get it down into a message clear. That didn't help. Very good book, but it didn't help. But I want to look at what God tells us in His Word about His sovereignty. And I want to do it with these two points. Sovereignty in salvation is why He is sovereign in all things. And woe to those who do not submit to His sovereignty. First of all, we read here in the 135th Psalm, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure." This is a very, very familiar language to those who know Him and have had their understanding open. Because we also read in Romans 9, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." In other words, this says, God loves those whom He chose, and He hates the heathen or those who are not His people. This is the whole purpose of God. It says that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. What was His purpose? To love some and hate others. Not just that, though. He also chose Christ to be the Redeemer of His people, whom He loved. The Scripture calls Jesus Christ the elect. You want to know why all this is? Everything we see around us in this world, it is because God was pleased to give glory, honor, and praise to His name, that name that is pleasant. None of this would have been, had God not been pleased for it to be so. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of what? Time. It all began with God. He was the only one there. What did God do? He created. So because of the salvation with which He purposed, and in that purpose choosing a people, and we are not debating this, this is in the Word of God, He chose a people because He purposed to save some people. In doing this, it pleased Him to create everything that is to bring about a people's salvation by Himself and for Himself. Not only did our God create all things, but He is in absolute sovereign control of all things. That includes all happenings, all animals, all flora and fauna. He is in control of all the elements, earth, wind, fire, and rain, and all of it, even those that I've missed. He is in total absolute control of all angels, including the elect angels and the fallen angels, which includes Satan. He is for sure in total absolute sovereign control of all mankind. Why? Because He purposed it all. It is what God wanted to do. He willed all of this to happen. Anything that happens or does not happen, He willed it to be so. Because He created all things. I know some will say, God did not create evil. Is Satan evil? God created Satan. Is man evil? Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Nothing has changed. Man as he is born is as wicked and evil as he ever was. God created man. What does God say about it? In Isaiah 45:7, He says, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." God Almighty tells us right here that it is He that does all of this. When you see evil, you see God at work. He created it and purposed it to happen. This is God. If you do not agree with this, it is not me that you are fighting against. God says to us, I, the Lord, do all these things. What else do we have that might show this? In Joshua 23 and verse 15 we read, therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Sounds to me like this is something God wanted to do. It says, shall. That means there's no doubt this was going to happen. Then we have Job, and we've looked at Job. Satan come before God, and God suggested Job to Satan, so that he, that is Satan, might sift him, that is Job, as wheat, just as he did Peter. What does Job say about the whole matter? And let's remember, this includes killing all of his children. Job 2:10 says, but he said unto her, and he was speaking to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? But then at the end of the book of Job, we have it confirmed, just in case we have any doubts. In Job 42:11 it says, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. Not only does it sound like God wanted to do this, it actually tells us God wanted to do it. God is in absolute sovereign control. But let's point out that the scripture tells us that he loved Jacob and hated Esau before they had done any good or evil. Jacob was chosen in Christ from before the world began. Esau was rejected of God from before the world began. God did not look down in time to see what we would do, because we had done neither good or evil to either merit or demerit favor before God. We were chosen by God based on his absolute sovereign will, or we were rejected by God based on his absolute sovereign will. It just pleased God to do it this way. What are we going to say to God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Go ahead and try to enter into disputation with God. God created all things, and it was by his sovereign control that everything is brought to pass, just as he purposed it from before the foundation of the world. God purposed to destroy the whole earth and all the people that were on it, and actually all life that was on the earth, except for 8 people and the animals that came into the ark. The only reason 8 were saved was because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The grace was there. God just enabled him to find it, and it was in the face of God, that is, his eyes. Jesus Christ is the face of God. So God purposed salvation, and that by his own right hand. In doing this, he was pleased to show mercy to some. Because of this, he began to create all things by the power of his word. Not only has he created all things, but he then began to move to carry out in time everything that happens. What do we read in Colossians 1? And this is speaking of Christ. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By him all things consist. This word means set together, all things, anything you can think of, is set together by Christ. He puts everything together, and He either keeps them together or He tears them apart, depending on His will. He made everything. He made everything for Himself. Everything that goes on in this world and in the heavens are happening because He is pleased for them to happen. 1 Samuel 2 and verses 6 through 10 reads, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king, and exalt the horn of His anointed." You can kick and scream against God, and we sometimes do, but you are not going to change God. He is going to do whatsoever He is pleased, and you complaining about it or getting mad about it is not going to change God's mind. If someone does something to you that you do not like, God was pleased for them to do it, whether it was evil or good. Does that mean it's okay for us to do evil? No. But our Lord also says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So think about that if you think you are going to sin, that grace may abound. Now, if you would, turn with me to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 and 24 through 31. Isaiah 46, 8 through 13. "Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory." It was this sovereign, almighty God that purposed to do all these things for His honor and glory. He does this for His people, in which He would and now does place salvation in Zion. Where is Zion? Wherever Jesus Christ is. Right here in us. He says He would place salvation in Zion. When He placed Jesus Christ on that tree, being made sin and a curse for us, Jesus Christ is salvation, and He is the only salvation that there is. It is this salvation whose name is pleasant to sing praises unto. It is pleasant to sing them to His name because His name is pleasant. His works to bring about salvation is a pleasant thought to those in His court. All things that God has done in all creation was for Himself, to give honor, glory, and praise to His name. He created all things. He controls all things. He does all the work, so He gets all the glory. This is a sovereign God, my God, your God if you are in Him. What do we see in all of this? Wisdom, works, power, presence, providence, immutability, incomprehensible, infinite, invisible, goodness, graciousness, righteousness, long-suffering, love, mercy, peace. These things, when it comes to thinking about His name, are pleasant thoughts. If you do not see this in the sovereign God of Scripture, then you are blind. If you do not see this and praise His name, then turn with me to Acts 17. Woe to those who do not submit to His sovereignty. Acts 17. 17 and verses 24 through 31. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, and that's every single one of us that are on the earth, believer or unbeliever. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Although all men will not repent, He has commanded it. If you do not repent, then you will be judged one day. God is long-suffering, but it does not say He is eternally suffering. If you do not bow down to God, the God of Scripture, you will see the vengeance of God upon your soul. God is not mocked. You are not going to stick your chest up at God without Him judging you for it. He either did this for you in His Son, and He will abase you one day, or He finally, ultimately, will judge you in righteousness. That is His righteousness. You will not stand in that day. If you have idols, don't put forth effort to drop these idols, because you will be working for nothing. Turn to God from idols to serve the living God. Turn to God now. He will purge you from all idols. In fact, if you are one of His, He has already purged you in the court of God's law. Lay down your arms against Him. If you are one of His, He will see to it that you do, and you can be certain of that. But the biggest fear for some should be that maybe He will not do this. God is not obligated to us to show mercy to us. But if He shows you mercy, you will praise His name, because He will bring you to that place where you have nothing but Him. Ask Him to cleanse you that you might serve Him. If He is pleased to do so, He has always been pleased to do this, and in fact brought everything to pass to bring you to this place, so that you will be able to do what? No matter how much opposition you might have to this, no matter how much opposition you might give to those who teach this, no matter how much you might think the God you search is not like this, you are not going to change God's mind. You are not going to make God to be how you want Him to be just by believing it. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 5 reads this way. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. We are to praise His name. Praise Him in word. Speak the gospel to people. Tell those around you the hope that lieth in you. Tell what God has done. Praise Him in song. Sing to God, praising Him for all His works which He has done. Praise Him in prayers and supplication, knowing it is He that is in control of all things. In Ephesians 3:20 and 21, we read, Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is eternal, and God does not change. Therefore, His sovereignty never changes. Who God is in the Old Testament is who God is in the New Testament. God does not change. God is in absolute control. The dust that you see in the air when the sunlight comes through the window, every little speck that comes down and falls, it falls where He is pleased for it to fall. Every little raindrop falls where He wants it to fall. It may fall specifically on the ground where a certain flower is, and He purposed that flower to drink it up and grow up a beautiful flower. Or the drop of rain can fall on the asphalt where the heat of the sun evaporates it into the air. Or He could allow that little drop of rain to run off the leaf of the flower into a trickle of water where other droplets have gone. That then runs into a stream where a bunch of other little trickles run. Then that stream runs into a river where a bunch of other streams run into it. He could make more drops of rain run into the river than it can handle on its banks, and it overflows, flooding everything in its path. This is God who controls it all. God controls the big things because God controls the little things. Anything you can think of, no matter what it is, God is in absolute sovereign control over it. How this gives comfort to my soul. The child of God is comforted by that because he or she knows that nothing is going to happen outside of His control. Not one of His will slip through His fingers. He has us in His hand tight and controls all that which surrounds us. Nothing can lay anything to the charge of God's elect because it is God that justifies. It is He that controls all things to the salvation of His people by Jesus Christ the Lord, to His praise. In A.W. Pink's book, The Sovereignty of God, he has this sentence, and I like this. Two alternatives confront us, and between them we are obliged to choose. Either God governs, or He is governed. Either God rules, or He is ruled. Either God has His way, or men have theirs. For those in His court, the choice is not hard to make. God is sovereign over all. I tell you, the Scripture says in Proverbs 16:1, it says, The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, believer or reprobate. Again, it says in Proverbs 16:9, A man's heart deviseth His way, but the Lord directeth His steps. So now, what are you going to do? There is but one thing to do, and that is fall down on your face in the dust and beg for mercy. Maybe it might be that He has been pleased from the foundation of the world to show you mercy. One thing for sure, though, if you do not bow down to Him, He has not shown you mercy, and it may just be He never will. So now I have a new definition for you instead of Merriam-Webster's. the definition of sovereign is this. 1A, God. As an adjective, 1A, absolute control over all. No matter what it is, but especially to note, all mankind, salvation, and that because of who He is. See now, 1A. What are you going to do? Whatever God is pleased for you to do is what you're going to do. Whether it be in love or hate, you will do whatever He is pleased for you to do, and that only if He allows you to live. He is sovereign, and we should praise Him for His good. We should sing praises to His name because He is pleasant, and it is pleasant to praise His name. O God, enable me to praise His name.